I want to thank everyone for giving time, money, and prayers. Thank you to all the workers that went, and Pastor for letting us go. So I'll let her know that we read that, and I know she had a blast being up there. Man, Bryce would come at this time and give his testimony. I always love having Brother Bryce, and he did have to go to the hospital, but you never would have known it. He's a trooper, and he's doing pretty good now, so I hope he's not medicated.
Yeah, well, medicated, yeah. First of all, I just want to say thank you for allowing, well, these guys to go, paying even all of our ways. My wife isn't here. She's not feeling too well, so she's out sick, and she wanted to say, you know, thank you, and thank you for your prayers. Ann Brown, one of your messages really even touched my heart, where you went down to the stage. You said, God's creating Adam. Pulling up the dirt, pulling up everything, and you're just like, they're going to betray me. Wow. You know, the love that he had for us. He's building us. He's physically making Adam, and just in knowing that you're going to betray me one day. Oh, like, and God still did that. God still made us. God still, he provides for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And that I could just picture vividly in my mind, like, wow, thank you, Ian Brown, for what your ministry and what you do for us. Teen Spec this year was awesome. It was my second year of going. I everybody says, you know, thank you for skipping work. I love skipping work. You know, any day. You know, my boss did tell me, you know, like, hey, you can't leave unless you get all your work done. I said, well, I'm walking out the door now, so good luck. I'll see you guys on Monday. Hopefully I still have a job. So we'll see. But I just, I love you guys. I really do. I had Aiden, Becker, Cole, and, oh, yeah, can't forget Avion. But, you know, I really did have a great room. And, you know, in the conversations, it's awesome to see, you know, how they react in the services. But it's even more great for them to come back to the apartment or the hotel room and then just start talking. What about this? What about this? What about how does this work? And just the conversations that we had were sweet. And it's just awesome to see how God works in these hearts. So thank you guys. I appreciate it. My wife appreciates it. Appreciates it. So thank you for your prayers and continue to pray.
You know, it's my opinion that you really can't have a thriving youth group without godly youth workers. That's just the truth, folks. We've only been here 5 years, and I know compared to some, that's not that long, but we have been blessed over the past 5 years with some incredible youth workers. People that love our teenagers, that invest in our teenagers, not just with their time, but even with their finances and with their time, with their heart, and they give their hearts. And man, we are so blessed. I always tell Uncle Jack, and he was a man, they've been working with teenagers for over 20 years. I said, man, you have so much to offer. They have so much to offer to our teenagers, and praise the Lord, our teenagers love them back. So we're so blessed. They have great youth workers. I was also very blessed this year to have Pastor Mark and Miss Lindsay. It actually worked out because when Brother Bryce did go to the hospital, Pastor Mark got to fill in even more as a helper because Brother Bryce wasn't there. So I'm going to have Pastor Mark come at this time and share his testimony. He was able to be there as well, so that was great.
One of the most important things that we can do as adults, man, I just said we can do as adults. I'm getting old. This is weird being on the other side of the fence. It was just like yesterday I was sitting in that row giving the testimony. One of the most important things that we can do for the young people of our church is to show God to them. Their perception of God is filtered through the lens of us. And it was awesome at Teen Spec to see them catch a glimpse of God. I'm telling you, it was real. There are a lot of times when people just come down to the altar and there's a bunch of crying, and then you go home thinking, well, man, I don't have to cry for another year. But I'm telling you what, folks, this was real. And it wasn't just because of the amazing preaching. There was amazing messages. And I told Lindsay, we went back to the hotel one night, and I told her, I was thinking throughout, Brother Ian, you were preaching. And I'm not saying this to puff you up, but you were preaching, and he was just going away real fired up. And I thought, man, I wish I could preach like that. I don't get fired up very easily. I'm more like a Bryce, just kind of easygoing. And I thought, man, I wish I could get fired up and yell at people and threaten them, but I'm not intimidating. So, but I thought that, and halfway through, God slapped me upside the head, and he said, you don't wish you could preach like that. You don't wish you could do what he does. You wish you could have what he has. And I want to know God like the men that preached at this conference know God. And what I also want is for these kids to know God like that. Because when you see God as he really is, you will become the person he wants you to be. And I think I personally saw many of these kids see that. And you could see a change in their actions. You could see it in a change in the things they would say. You could see in what they would do. They would go forward. Really, I think God really showed himself to our teens this week. And I want to thank you for letting them go, and for letting me go as well. I was spiritually challenged as well. On the fun side of things, Eddie was talking about the basketball game. And I need to publicly apologize to Bryce for being... That's true, you don't. Not very well, anyways. No, we got to this... Hey, you're better than Ian, I'll tell you that. One-on-one after church. We went to a basketball tournament, and our guys, I had watched them practice. I didn't really have high hopes. I'm sorry, guys, I just did it. We got to this tournament. They won their first game. That shocked me. I almost died of shock from that. Their second game, they played against a 6'11", 220 monster. Like David Bowie's Goliath. Picture Clinton trying to shoot over this guy. I'm 6'3". He's this tall. He was a big'un. I mean, he was just huge. And I thought, we have nobody that can guard this guy. I love sports. I really do. And I think that's something I really want to push in the youth group in the next few years. And I was watching these guys play, and I'm like, there's absolutely no way. So Bryce takes him out on the floor, and I'm sitting there like, God, do a miracle. Please. Gotta do something. And they started playing, and I'm telling you what, those are some of the scrappiest young men I've ever seen. They were determined. They got out there, and you should have seen Clinton, Avion, Garrett, Jonathan, all of them. Arms waving. Their defense was absolutely awesome. And I don't know if any of you love basketball, but it was a joy to me. I got up and started shouting. I shouted more in the basketball game than I did during the preaching. That probably wasn't good. And just to see them, they would swing the ball around. They would get ready for a shot. They would shoot it, and it would go in. Tell you what, they put up a fight. And I was proud. I was proud of the way they handled themselves. They didn't walk in defeated. They walked into a very tough situation. They picked up a sling and some stones, and they went to work. They did a good job. Of course, they didn't kill the giant, but they did a good job.
Who did they have guard one of those brothers? Were you guarding? I'm telling you, I was watching there, and I'm sitting. I don't – listen, you think, you know, Brother Bryce, but I don't know anything about basketball. I don't care that I don't know. I'm just like, whatever, man, you know. But I'm standing in the back, and I'm watching. I'm like, you know, I love watching football, basketball. I didn't really want – but I'm watching Eddie guarding this super tall guy. And again, there was two of them. So there's these two giants, these two sons of Gath on the basketball court. And I'm like, man. And they weren't that nice either. They were kind of mean. And I want to go out and kick them in the shins, man. I was just – but I watched. They're trying – because those guys, they just get on the hoop and they just be like this, like, oh. And then their guys are just, like, loft it up to them. And these guys, you just grab it and kind of drop it in the hoop, you know. But Eddie and who had to go the other one? These two had to go. And again, they're probably like, what, a foot and a half taller than these guys? And they're jumping and blocking a lot of those passes. I was proud of them, too. It was exciting. They're still off, what, 28 points? It was a pretty big loss. But we had 24 points. But they had points on the board, and I was proud of them. It was a really, really great job by them. Miss Lindsay, come on up and share your testimony with us. And my wife went to go grab some. I forgot. I think she's coming in right now. Someone else had written a testimony, so she grabbed this one.
Well, I was going to get up and say something about one of Brother Ian's messages, but I think his ego has been puffed up just a little bit too much tonight, so I'm not going to anymore. No, we really do love you, Brother Ian. And clearly, from what the teens are saying, we are blessed to have him as a part of our church. And they really did love him at the conference. And he's filled with the Spirit. And it came through in his preaching. But don't tell him that. Brother Shirley actually preached a message. And it's already been addressed a couple times from some of the teens. But I wish you could have seen it. It was incredible. He had a PowerPoint up on the screen. And he was showing us, first, he showed us a couple really fancy watches, like hundreds of thousands of dollars these watches cost. And we're like, whoa, that's insane. And he was talking about all the work that goes into it and how intricate it is to make that watch function. And then he was saying that these watches are made by hand, by one person. And when someone makes a watch like that, they're titled the master of making that kind of watch. And then he went over and compared it to the universe. And how much more complex is the universe compared to a watch, right? So God is the master of this universe. And then he said, the God that does all of that comes down into your life, all the way down, like Eddie was saying, to this one person. And he does everything in your life that he wants to happen. And we all have situations in our lives that we're like, that was so not me. Only God could have done that, right? And so it's just incredible thinking of all the instances in my life, and even in, I've learning some of your stories already and in your lives, that there's no way that could have happened by anyone else but God. And it's just so incredible because he compared it to worshiping God. And he's like, how is it that we can see something like that? We can see God work in our lives in miraculous ways, ways that we never could have orchestrated ourselves. And we still don't even remember to thank him for it after all that. And it was such a convicting thought because it's like, I fall victim to that all the time. You know, I forget to even thank him. For, you know, Pastor Mark and I are here. God orchestrated everything about that. And we get to serve with Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa and everyone here. We get to be a part of all of your lives. There's no way we could have done that. And how easily we forget to just praise God for everything that he's done. So it was really a challenge. And then I would like to stand up for our girls really quickly because they nailed it in volleyball. They really fought hard. Good job, girls. Just give them a hand. Yeah, the guys did great, whatever, they did good. But the girls also fought really hard, and we actually had requested to play, we requested a different team from last year, right? So we keep getting, like, the biggest school to play first, and it's like, that's not really what we would hope for, right? So they actually gave us a new school, and we're like, sweet, who's it going to be? And it was the second biggest school, or was this one even bigger? I think it's bigger. So we're like, sweet, a different team, a bigger one. So it was a little intimidating going into it, but the girls fought really hard. We didn't win our first game, but they did awesome, and they really held it together. So let's give the girls a hand for that.
Yay, volleyball! Amen. You know, Holyoke, Massachusetts is the birthplace of volleyball, where I'm from. They have a museum and everything. We never went to it, so... No, but great job, girls. This is from Taylor. Taylor went to Florida. She told me beforehand, she said, I'm flying to Florida on Sunday. So she actually wrote her testimony on the bus. Yes, I'll read this from Taylor Riddle. She said, I had a lot of fun on our trip. I enjoy all the laughs of my friends. And we all know Taylor makes us laugh. It may annoy us sometimes, but she makes us laugh. And she said, besides all that, I made a lot of decisions on this trip. Some of them were to pray and read my Bible more, to be a witness to my lost friends and family. My best memory of this trip would be teaming up with Abby in laser tag, and I got to go with him too, as we yelled at this kid for cheating and following me. And there were a couple cheaters out there, and he switched his vest around. I was pretty annoyed too. She says, I also like yelling at the kid and calling him a back row Baptist, which he called him, I guess. Thank you for the prayers. Love, Taylor. So I'll tell her that we wrote this. She's a maniac, man. I wonder where she gets it from. Probably her youth pastor. So I read Ashley's. That's where you were going. So I'm going to have my wife come at this time and share her testimony. And then we'll have our seniors come up one by one. And we'll do what we normally do. We'll pray for them at the end. But my wife, she's going to share her testimony.
Thank you, everybody, for praying and donating for our teens to go. We had such a good time this year. I told my husband, I feel like every year we go, we come back saying, like, oh, this was the best year ever. But really, it does get better every year. And I'm so thankful for our workers who took time to come, for Pastor Mark and Lindsay who took time to come, and for Uncle Jack and Bryce and Jordan. We couldn't have done it without them. And they're such a huge blessing to our teens, but to us, too. It makes our life so much easier to have such great workers who really care about our teenagers and about their spiritual well-being also. And so that was a huge blessing to me. And thank you to Mrs. Kirkland for making lunch for us before we left. She always does that to help me out, and it's a blessing. But I think the message that spoke to me the most was not even at Teen Spec. It was Brother Ian's message on Wednesday night about the body of Christ and about how everybody is important and everybody is needed to make the body work. And he talked about your hand and how, you know, all your different fingers have a different purpose, and you couldn't do everything to it. Your hand couldn't work to its fullest potential without all of its fingers. And so, you know, sometimes you can get discouraged and feel like, man, why do I even do this or do that? But, you know, God has us here for a reason, and everybody works together, and we're on a team. And so that really just set a good tone for the rest of the week for me, and that was a huge blessing to me. And then he preached about how, you know, it's been addressed a couple times, his message about Aaron and how Aaron reached him. And my whole family is saved, but my brother in the Marine Corps is not where he needs to be spiritually. And so it really just convicted my heart and put a burden on my heart to reach out to my brother more and encourage him more spiritually to get him to where he needs to be and to really reach out. I have unsaved family members, but my brother Andrew's girlfriend is unsaved. And so I really want to make it a goal to be a witness to her and be able to witness to her. And we're going to see them for my brother's graduation. So please pray for us that we'll get a chance to witness to her during that time. But then another message that really spoke to me was Brother Shirley's message, and they've talked about it also, about the watch and how God cares so much about us individually. And we are going through some stuff with Sethi right now, and it's been a little bit of a burden on my heart lately, and it just reminded me that God knows everything that he's going through already. And he is going to use everything that he's going through right now to put him to his fullest potential. And sometimes when it's hard for me and we both get frustrated and it's not going the way I think it needs to go, I can get discouraged. But it reminded me that God knows. And God takes the time to zoom right in on my little Seth and care about every single thing that he's going through right now. Sorry. And so that just really encouraged me this week. It's encouraging to think about the creator of the universe cares so much about us. It blows my mind sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to remember that, you know, the God of the Bible is the same God that I get to pray to too. And so, God, he's just great. He's wonderful. And I'm so thankful that we got to go and that God knew what I needed before we even got there. And it was a huge blessing. And so if you could just keep praying for our teens. Our teens did so well this year. My husband and I a couple times commented like, man, this group of teenagers, we've never brought a group that's just done so well. And they were so, I feel like even before we got there, spiritually ready for it. They just wanted it. They were hungry for it. And to watch our girls reach out to the younger girls and to make our new girls feel welcome and to see the youth group really be a group and to be a body and to be on the same team and work together was just a blessing to my heart. And I just love each one of them so much. And another thing was Brother Shirley sings a song that says, "And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails." And that really convicted my heart. And I thought, you know, God has put me here and in this youth group, and I want to be that for them. I want to live my life as a testimony to them that Jesus does never fail and that he is amazing and that he knows about them and that he's going to work all of their situations out for good. And some of them have some really dark things that they go through on a daily basis, but Jesus has never failed them yet, and he never will fail them. And so if you could just pray for them, and thank you so much for praying already, but continue to pray, and thank you for your donations and just being sweet and loving on our teenagers.
My wife sometimes she'll say, you know, I don't need to give a testimony this year, and And I was like, no. And I tell her, if you stop giving such great testimonies, maybe I won't. So, but wonderful. One of our seniors come this. I have Alexis start us off for our seniors. We got actually one of our seniors. So we have 5 seniors this year. Is that right, Miss Marissa? 5 seniors this year. So out of the graduates, it's going to be tough this year. We're losing some great, great teenagers. I hope all of them fail their classes and stay back so I have another year with them. And your parents are like, no, I want to get them graduated and get them out. No, you probably feel the same way, parents, but we love our seniors. So proud of each one of our seniors. So Alexis, you start us off.
Hi, guys. I'm nervous. I want to thank everybody who helped pay for us to go. It made the cost a lot cheaper and made it easier for a lot of us to go. And I'm glad everybody who went got to go. It was really fun. I got hurt a lot snowboarding, but it was fun. I hurt places I didn't know I had. I liked all of the messages. I don't really know that I had one favorite one. I like Brother Brown's message on Wednesday about how everybody is made to do different things, and a lot of times I look around at other people and I think wow, I wish I could do that, or I wish I was good at that, and just wondering what am I good at, what can I do, what can God do with me. And so his message just really encouraged me that God can use me, and just because I may not be able to do what other people can do, there's stuff that I can do, and we're all put in different situations and given different abilities to do different things. And if we all did the same thing, everything that needs to be done for God wouldn't get done. I liked Jeremiah Young's message. He preached about standing for your future, and he preached about Hezekiah, and he helped a lot of people get right with God and encouraged them and told them, if you pray to God and ask him for help, he will help you. And God really blessed his life. But at the end of the story, he had these people come over and he was walking around showing them all this stuff. Look what I did and look at all this stuff that I have. And not once did he mention God or the other people that helped him. And when someone came to him and told him, bro, you have an issue with pride. You didn't talk about God. God did that for you, and told them, God's going to punish your kids and your grandkids because of what you did. And he didn't care. He was like, as long as my life is good, I don't really care. And that just got me thinking about how my decisions, the decisions I make and the things that I do and the things that I say, it doesn't just affect me. It affects other people, people around me now, people who will be around after me. And, so that really convicted me. And Derek Hagelin's message about prayer and just encouraging me to pray more. A lot of times I don't really have a desire to pray, and his message really convicted me about that. And I found myself afterwards just wanting that alone time with God and just wanting to talk to him, and just having a real desire to pray. And Abdel Judah's message about standing again, before we went to Teens Back, I was really nervous about going and just thinking about how far away from God I was, and thinking does God still love me? Is he even going to talk to me? And just worried that I wasn't going to get anything out of the messages. And so his message really helped me and reminded me that I can go back to God, and he does still love me. No matter what I do, he's still there for me. And that was just the biggest thing for me. A lot of the messages were just reminding me that God is still good. God's still there for me, and he's good enough for me. Another thing that I really struggle with is just relying on other people. When I'm hurting and finding myself okay, well, I'll just talk to this person. I don't really open up a lot, but there's people in my life that, if I just talk to them, it doesn't really matter what it's about. We can talk about Cheerios, and it makes me feel better, I guess. And my mom is definitely one of those people. She means a lot to me, and just being with her and talking to her, it always helps me feel better. And that's good, but I need to rely on God more and go to Him for help and know that no matter what I'm going through, it's okay to talk to Him. It's okay to open up to Him. It's okay to let God into my heart and deal with me. And sometimes I get scared of His will and what He wants for me. But it's okay because I'm not alone and He loves me. And so that was really what God had was putting on my heart, just reminding me that He's there for me. Yeah. So Teen Spec was fun, and again, thank you guys for praying for us and paying for us, and just all the effort that the youth workers put in and investing in us. It means a lot to me. You know, being a senior and graduating soon, and just knowing that I have people that I can look to for help and guidance. And thank you guys for being so awesome.
Thank you, Alexis. And it was also Drake's first year. Come on up, Drake. It was his first year as well. We had a blast. So he's graduating this year as well, so we'll miss him. Drake, come on.
This was my first Teen Spec, and it was also my last, at least as a teenager, in the youth group. And I'm going to start with some of just the funny stuff that we did and the fun stuff. Skiing was great. It's my first time skiing. I got a huge blister on the side of my right foot from it. It was wonderful. I was scared to go skiing a little bit at the beginning. I was kind of hanging out with Eddie at the beginning of on the bunny hill. And once I figured it out and stuff, went down the bigger hill with Pastor Mark, and I was scared to go down. And I swear, we were at the top of this hill before we went down. And I was like, will you pray with me real quick? And so we stopped and prayed at the top of this hill. I was like, I don't want to die, you know? So, and then on the way, we just had all kinds of fun. We actually, me, Petey, and Eddie, we were in a room together, and we made, on the way home, on the bus ride, we made a quote book for Eddie that we're going to give to him at his graduation. I'm getting a, like, 4-foot big poster of a picture of me in second grade with a mullet. So that's a very interesting picture. And that was the fun stuff. And then we had like a sing-spiration on the way home. A bunch of us teens, we were just singing. It was awesome. Now more to like the spiritual side. I wish, even if we took pictures and we got to show you guys, and I mean Facebook pictures and stuff, it does not do it justice. Because you can't, through a picture, you can't feel the spirit move. You can't see and hear the things that, you know, we hear there. And words, like I said, words cannot describe the moving of God there. Like, one day before the service even started, before anybody even preached, they had the two groups come and sing. And I don't know if there's a song they sang. It was, He's All That Really Matters. And that really spoke to me because, I mean, I tend to, like, freak out about stuff I don't know about. I like to, like, know the future. And so I want to make sure, like, everything's going to work out all right and stuff like that. And there's other things that, you know, that I worry about, like, hey, this. Like, am I going to be, you know, one day a good dad? Am I going to do this or that, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of just is like, Jesus is all that matters. And if I follow Him and if I get, you know what I mean, if I put Him first, I will be everything that I need to be, no matter what, you know. And so kind of along the same notes, all the messages spoke to me. And, bro, Ian, you've gotten all kinds of praise. I'm going to get you a plaque or something. You know, I'm just kidding. But you, great. Yeah, yep, definitely got on that, man. He preached great messages, but one that really spoke to my heart was stand for your family. I think Brother Randy Dignan preached that, am I correct? Okay, and he didn't say, like, we could take that and, like, we think of, when I first heard the title, I thought he was going to talk about stand for my family now. Like, you know, what can I do as a kid to help, you know, my home life be better? And he preached it in a future sense. He said, how can you, one day, you know, when I'm a dad, one day when I have a family, one day when we have families, you know, that things we can do now to help us be better parents, better husbands, better wives, and leaders. And that really spoke to me a lot, and trying to better myself. This was probably the biggest thing that happened to me. Friday night after devotions, we prayed, a bunch of us, for I think it was like 35 kids that, you know, haven't been here. And we all gave testimonies and stuff. God's worked in our lives. And afterward, I went, and, you know, I was talking to Pastor Donald, because I'm not comfortable getting emotional around people, like, at all. I hate it. And so I'm not even exaggerating. We were out there for maybe 10 minutes before I even spit words out. And I want to thank you all for praying, you know, for us. And the difference that, you know, you guys make in our lives, and Pastor Donald and Bryce and Pastor Mark, my whole life, there's been nobody, I think, that has, you know, I have my parents and stuff like that, but I don't know that even they, and this is going to sound really bad, I don't, but have made the difference that these two guys have. And, you know, even, you haven't even been here that long, you know what I mean? And so, but you and, you know, almost going on 2 years now, the difference that these people have made in my life, and Miss Marissa, and Miss Lindsay, and Miss Jordan, and Bryce, and you know, Mr. and Mrs. Boston, you guys see this in the bus ministry. The difference you get to make in kids' lives, and it's awesome. And I can't wait to have that one day. Hopefully, you know, Lord willing, I'll be a youth pastor or a pastor, whatever God wants me to be. But in my life, I don't really have anybody that I'm comfortable to talking about things that I need to talk about. I mean, besides Pastor Donald. But me, the way I was thinking is, he's got a family, and I don't want to put my burdens on him. I don't want him to have to deal with, you know, my garbage. And so I poured my heart out to him, and I was bawling like a baby, man. It was great. I needed it. I'm serious. God convicted me. I was thinking about this. This is the only reason I even said anything to him was, the Bible says, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we think of that in sin, right? If I do good or I do bad, right, God will give me my, you know, what I deserve. But I was thinking of it when one day, Lord willing, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I don't want to have a teenager one day that's dealing with something and they can't talk to me about it. And so there's so many other ways we can apply that verse. You know, one day, you know, if some of us, you know, pastors, whatever, I want to be the type of kid that a pastor prays for. I want to be that servant. I want to be that guy. You know what I mean? And I want, so one day God will give me those guys that I can use. But I was out there bawling a PD and just opened up to him. Man, some of the loneliest places, like inside your own head, and you have nobody to talk to. When that stuff boils and sits and sits and sits, you kind of find out yourself a little bit, and it gets really lonely. And I thank God for putting that on my heart and doing a great work in my life. And he taught me some stuff. I used to get mad about sports. I know I'm kind of being long-winded. I'm sorry. But in sports, yeah. No, I'm not. But so in sports, I used to, and I might still in the future, I get like mad. I get super competitive, and I get mad when stuff goes wrong. And God was like, hey, you know, do all things for his glory and stuff. So that was another thing God really worked on my heart about, is stop getting mad about stupid games. Mature, right? I know, I'm super mature. It's great. But go along with that trials and stuff. God used this verse in my life. In 2 Corinthians 1, I'm not, like I said, I don't want to be super long. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So God's saying sometimes he lets bad stuff happen to us so we can help somebody else one day. And so as bad as like last year, this 2016 by far was the best and worst year of my life. I moved 5 times in a year, moving locations. I lived with an individual that didn't even want me there. You know what I mean? And just dealing with stuff like that, like somebody that's supposed to love me and care about me. And so, like, I was talking to Cole. I told Cole, I was like, I didn't grow up in church, man. And he was shocked, you know, because I don't, you know, I've changed a lot. If you guys would have saw me my freshman year of high school, you'd be amazed. Like, my old friends, they see me and they're like, what happened to this guy? You know what I mean? And so, one day though, even though this bad stuff has happened to me in my life, I do not regret any of it. At all. Zero. Yeah, exactly. I want, one day, I'm going to be able to relate to bus kids. And I'm going to be able to let them know, hey, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going through. And I can relate to Ian. I didn't have some of the stuff happen to me. And, you know, that's your story, as you said. But I can relate to things that he said and he's been through on a lesser scale. The world has nothing to offer at all. And something that ticks me off is when church kids, I hear, you want to leave this, man. Yeah. Don't leave it. Please don't. And I wasn't even an adult when I got saved and when I got in church. The difference God's made in my life, man, over the last 2 years, not even 2 years, has been amazing. And I just want to thank him for that. And he's really changed my attitude about the stuff that, you know, has happened to me and trying to be able to share my heart a little bit better. So that's all I've got.
Thank you so much, buddy. That was awesome, man. Kamisha, come on up, sis. Come on up. Kamisha's going to come share her testimony, and then we have one more senior, and we'll pray for our team just a bit. Come on up. Let's give her a hand. Come on, Kamisha.
Okay, I'm going to try not to cry this time. Thanks for everyone who prayed for us. I have a hard time speaking in front of people, so I'm sorry. My life hasn't always been easy. I've been struggling with things since I was 7. As you guys know, I have a little girl, which wasn't planned. I never really thought that I would get back into church until I moved to Jackson. And my twin sister, Kamaya, told me about the church, and I came. And then I stopped coming for like a couple of days. And Marissa had something at her house. And after that, I just started coming again and got close with Marissa. I never thought that I would get close to someone again or trust anyone. The way that I trusted Marissa. I never thought that I would get out of my room or ever finish school. And I'm really glad that I did. I've went to church before, but I've never experienced the church the way I've experienced it. That I do now. I've never been to Teen Spec before. And a message that touched me was when Ian said that God made me the way that I am. I've always been put down. Sorry. I've always been told that I was too stupid. That I was worthless. No one cared. No one cared about me. And when he said, they don't hate me the way that I really start believing that he did make me the way that I am. And that if I'd never been through the things that I've been through, I probably would never been here today or let God come into my heart. I never thought that I would decide to go to a college, not just any college, but I've decided to go to Grace Baptist College. I just appreciate that I've had the opportunity to come here and be around people who love me. I've never experienced love the way that the youth group and the youth workers give it to me. I've never had anyone take the time out to spend their day with me like Marissa and Pastor Donald has. I'm sorry. I just thank everyone who prayed and allowed me to go on this trip. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kenesha. We have one more senior tonight. So proud of Jemima Bittinger, and then I'll share my testimony, and we'll pray for our teenagers. They need our prayers. They need our prayers, all of them, each one of them, each and every one of them. So, Jemima, I want you to share your heart tonight, okay?
This year at Teen Spec was truly amazing. It was my last year, and we had such a great time. Prior to Teen Spec, I was really struggling inside. My walk with God was nowhere where it had been in the past, where it should be. And even though I was still trying, reading my Bible and trying to pray, my heart wasn't in it. And I knew it should be, because I've had a better walk with God in the past, and I just hated it, and I just couldn't wait to go to Teen Spec, and I was just really hoping that God would speak to my heart and really change me, change my thoughts, change my desires. And I was just wondering, I feel so empty. Is God really going to speak to me? And something Brother Jenkins said, he said, if you're willing, God will use you. And I knew the inside, I really did want to be spoken to, and I wanted to change. All the messages really had a big impact on me. Like, everything in them, there was just something that was like, wow, I can use that. One of my favorite messages was by Pastor Ian Brown. It really wasn't him. It's all God that speaks through all the preachers. But he just had such a passion for God, and it was God in him that just made me want to love God, made me want to tell others about God and reach people. And, man, it just fired me up inside. Another message that really had a big impact was Dr. Haglund's message on prayer. He talked about a person, and there was a person who was about to die, and then someone asked him if they could, you know, talk to God about their problem when they met God face to face. And that person replied, "When I'm with God, I will have no more access to him than you do right now." And I was just like, whoa, I can really be that close to God and know him? And it just made me want to pray. God can answer my prayers because he's really there listening. And then the other biggest message that really impacted me was Tony Shirley's message on God. He spoke how God created the world and he just spoke it into existence. And how he holds it in his hand. How big God is. How that God, that creator, loves me, knows me, cares about me and my life. God is so amazing. Why wouldn't I want to give my life for him? He made me, loved me, died for my sins, and he lives in me. How could I ignore all that and choose to live for myself and what I want? Why waste time when life is short? I just really became more serious, more focused, and more just committed to really try to give all my all for him and do everything I can to glorify him because he's so worth it. I want to thank Pastor Donald and Marissa and everyone, Bryce and Jordan, Grandpa Jack, Pastor Mark and Lindsay, and all of you guys and my parents for letting me go. I'm so thankful. I appreciate it with all my heart. God truly changed my life at Teen Spec.
Amen. Amen. Brother Jeff, can I have this lapel? It's been good, hasn't it? It's been good. Amen. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to preach. You've heard so much truth tonight from these young people. And I'll tell you, what I want from our youth group, and I told all of them, I said, I want you to share your heart. Just share your heart. It seemed as we get older, we stop sharing our heart. It's true. I think sometimes we need a little bit of this. I don't care how old or young you are. You know why God is blessing the Loomis Park Youth Group? It's not Pastor Donald. It's not Miss Marissa. Listen, it's because, is this on? This is good? It's because we have a young lady like Jemima Bettinger and a young lady like Kamisha Bridges, polar opposite lives. Same God. Opposite lives, opposite stories, same God. Listen, there are no cliques in the Loomis Park Youth Group. If there were, I'd smack it out of my ball. I don't need to because they're not there. These teenagers, listen, and we all have things to work on, and we know that. We know that. But we want to do something for God. We want to do something for God. Amen? We want to do something for God. God spoke to our heart, and we need you. Parent, you got parents in the crowd, we got teens up here, they need you. They need you to encourage them. And I know you will. They need you to encourage them in God's will, like you already have been doing. Maybe you're here and you don't have kids in the youth group, but you see some kids up here that whose parents aren't here, and who probably won't be here. Listen, continue to invest in them, or start if you haven't. They need you. Each and every one of them. The reason why we have them all come down, like we want to submit. And Pastor Mark, why don't you head down? I want you to play Stand Strong just quietly. And we're going to pray. That's why I'm not going to be long at all. We're going to be done in just a second. We're going to pray for them. But the reason we have not just the parents come down and pray with their teens, we have our church come down and pray over our teenagers and ask God not just to bless the decisions that they made at Teen Spec, but to use their lives in a mighty way. And you can start playing, Pastor Mark. Listen. I talked about this morning about how with God there's hope. You know what? Because of God, there's hope for Kamisha's life. Amen? Because of God, There's hope for Jemima. There's hope for all that God can do whatever he wants with each and every one of these teenagers. But it doesn't stop up here in the choir loft. Folks, it's about down here too. Amen? It's about down here too. Listen, God doesn't just want to use the Loomis Park Youth Group. God wants to use Loomis Park Baptist Church. Whether you've been a member for 5 years or 50 years. Listen, it's about time that we started saying, hey, not just saying, oh, wow, that's a great decision that the teenager made. It's about time that we started making decisions for God like that. God help me as a youth pastor to have a heart like some of these teenagers. Man, God smote my heart. You heard a mention about writing some names down. I mean, we were sitting in devotions Friday night, and Brother Judah preached. And he talked about Jonah, how he ran from God, and he's on the boat, and the storms come, and they're fearing for their lives. And Jonah finally says, you know what, guys, this is my fault. You just toss me overboard, and things will be okay. And those lost sailors, it says that they rowed hard. Listen, they tried to save Jonah's life knowing he was the problem. And he said, you know what? How often do we just write people off? We're not rowing hard. He said, we got teenagers that come and they cause problems, and then maybe they'll stop coming or they get in trouble. And sometimes, listen, sometimes I say, okay, well, it's one less problem that I have to deal with. Who do I think I am, Brother Ian? Man, God smote my heart. And we're sitting in the hotel room devotions. I said, man, we've got some teens that we need to reach out to. I said, can anybody think of a name? And I'm telling you, one teenager said this name, and another name, and another name, and five names turned into 10 names, turned into 15 names. And I'm telling you, my heart broke. Not just over the teens that we were missing, but my heart broke over my sin of not doing my part. Folks, it's about time that we did our part. And listen, it's not just about the donating, and thank you for donating. It's about reaching out. That's the church, folks. That's the church. Reaching out to people, investing our time, investing our love, investing our lives into other people. Let's have our teens come on down. Parents, I want you to come down first and gather around your teenager. Come on right down and let's spread across this altar. And we're going to beg God to help these kids stand, to help them stand strong in their homes, in their public schools, in their lives. And as our parents come, may the rest of us come now and gather around this. Let's kneel down and pray. Let's kneel down and pray. Come on, right near this altar right here. And we're going to pray and ask God to use their eyes. Come on down, teenagers. Maybe you don't have parents here. You'll have people that are gathered around you. I know you will. And let's ask God to keep these decisions. Let's ask God to help these teenagers as they go back to school tomorrow, as they go back home to their difficult times. Listen, that God would help them, that God would use them, that they could stand strong. Let's continue to roll hard for these teenagers. Man, there's hope. There's hope. With God, there's hope. There's hope for their lives. We serve the Creator of the universe, God the Father. He cares. He's got plans for these kids. And folks, adults, He's got plans for you too. Let's take some time and pray for these precious young ones. A broken life is mended through Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving these teenagers, church. Continue to pray for them. Pray for them. They need you. They need to see your example. They need your love. It's all about Him. It's all about God. He makes the difference. God is so good to us. God is so good to us. Thank God. So good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to me. God is so good. Sing it with me. God is so good. He's good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. Sing it out. He answers prayer. Amen. He answers prayer. Let's stand together. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. I love Him so. Sing it. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. He's coming soon, amen? He's coming. He's our only hope. Sing it. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. Let's sing, God is so good. Sing it out. Oh, God is so good. He's good. We need to serve Him. Amen. God is so good. And God is so good. He's so good to... Let's sing it one more time, a cappella. Sing it out. God is so good. God is so good. Think about it. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. It's been a good night in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Ian, would you come and close us in a word of prayer, Brother Ian? You bless, pray that God will bless these teens, give them strength. And folks, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving our teenagers. Thank you so much. You know how much it means to me as a youth pastor that we have a church that supports our youth group. Thank you for that. And I pray that you continue to do so. Brother Ian, please close us in a word of prayer.